Hallelujah. Please give the Lord a clap offering. Give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, today, the title of this message is titled Abiding in the Master. Abiding in the Master. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Our Lord Jesus Christ spoke when he was on earth. In John 8:12, he is the light of the world. John 8:12, he is the light of the world. In John 14:6, he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. In John 11:25 and 26, he is the resurrection and the life. In John 10:17, he is the door. He paved the way. In John 10:11, he is the good shepherd. He is the great shepherd. In John 6:35, he is the bread of life. And in John 15 and verse 1, he is the true vine. Our scripture for today shall be taken from the book of John, chapter 15, and I'm going to read from verses 1 through 17. And that's John 15, from 1 through 17. The Bible reads, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them up and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. May the Lord bless his word. In that scripture that we read, the word abide occurred about 10 times. And the word fruit about 8 times. These words were spoken by our Lord Jesus Christ. Those that he spoke to are not just Gentiles. They are his disciples. Those that he has already chosen. Those that he has already called. What does it mean to abide? It means to remain. To stay in. To be focused. To remain a part of something. We all know that Christianity is not a religion. It's a way of life. It's about relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. But with him in us, there is nothing we cannot achieve. There is nothing we cannot do. Because the power and the strength that we need is through him. Being a Christian is by abiding in him, obeying his words, doing his words. Not just hearing, we hear his word, yes. But when we abide in him, the words we hear, we will do. Because it will be natural to us to do it. He will supply the power. He will supply all that we need. We are all different. In every aspect, we are different. In some respects, we are different. But he knows it all. He knows what we are capable of and what we are not. He knows where to step in because he's connected to us. I pray that the Lord Almighty will continue to help us. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. So he prepared his disciples before the crucifixion, teaching them what to do, how to live when he has departed. He knows there will be challenges. We go through challenges today. He already knows about it. What, like Pastor mentioned this morning, that even tonight we don't know what will happen, but he knows. Because it is in you. Whatever trap the enemy has laid, he will steer you away from it. You may not know it. You may not know that he's steering you away. But he will steer you away from every trap of the enemy. And some enemy, we don't want them to die. We want them to repent. Because that is what God wants. But you know that some enemies are very stubborn. They are very unrepentant. The ones that are very unrepentant, we will pray that they will fall into their own trap. As Haman fell in the trap he set for Mordecai, whatever trap the enemy has set for you, the trap will catch themselves in the name of Jesus. So he prepared them for what will come. They were with him for 3.5 years. They were with him. They dined with him. He touched them. But you know that the scriptures used the vine to demonstrate many things. He used the vine to demonstrate his beloved people, the Israelites. He even used the vine in a negative way in some of his parables. But in this scripture that we just read, he is the true vine. Vine like no other. there will never be any vine like him. So in this analogy, it means we need to be dependent solely on him alone. Only on him alone. But we can only do it through him, through the Spirit of God. So a Christian life is a life that is productive. It's a life that is life-giving. It's a life that is worthwhile. A life that is enviable. A life that anyone in darkness will see and they will know that there is something with this man. There is something with this woman. Something is different. They will know. By the grace of God, they will ask you, how are you doing it? And you will tell them. It is a life that wants to be tailored to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. A life that is in progress. It's a life that is directed by the Holy Spirit. That is guided by the Holy Spirit. My brother mentioned today in Sunday school how when he prays in the Spirit, how he remains at peace, even in the midst of storms, even in the midst of challenges. That peace is there because he's in you. He is the Prince of Peace. His peace will radiate from the inside. I wish I have any other way to explain it more than that. But his peace is awesome. It is awesome that when he comes, nothing can stand in the way. I pray that your peace shall not be taken away. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. It is a life that benefits others. The Christian life benefits others. So in this scripture that we read, he talked about the vine dresser. And that is God the Father. He talked about the vine. The vine is our Lord Jesus Christ. And he talked about fruits. He talked about branches. We are all branches of him. And a branch that does not bear fruit is a fruitless branch. Nobody here in the name of Jesus or that's hearing online will be fruitless in the mighty name of Jesus. If we are fruitful, then we are his children. We are his disciples if we are fruitful. From day one, when the earth was created, it is all about being fruitful. There is nothing that God created that remains stagnant. But in order for the branch that you and I are, for us to function, for us to be fruitful, we need the vine. Just as the branch cannot do without the vine. The branch cannot do without the tree. We cannot do without the vine. We cannot do without the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he is the vine. We are the branches. The sap that normally flows through a tree that powers the branch, that powers everything that is in the tree, is called the sap. The sap that empowers us is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit flows from the root of the vine into the branches. And the branches then will become to be fruitful. Without the sap, which is the power, there will be no fruitfulness. And the Bible talks about there are instances in the Bible where there was unfruitfulness. There was a tree that's supposed to have fruit on it. What happened to the tree? It dried up. Because it's of no use. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone here at the sound of my voice shall be useful. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So the sap is the Holy Spirit that empowers us, that fuels us, helps us to do what we're supposed to do or what we are called to do. But without him, we cannot grow. We cannot be fruitful without him. So then, let me ask this. What then do we understand by fruitfulness? Fruitfulness, I have heard in my notes here, is the ability to multiply or to add to what is already there. To produce something. To add to something. To grow. I mean, a couple are said to be fruitful when they have children. And the more children they have, they are said to be more fruitful. A business is said to be fruitful if it is profitable or if it's growing towards profitability. Business that is not stagnant. A business that is expanding. That where you were 5 years ago is not where you are today. We see the growth. And now when you talk about the tree, it's about a tree growing and producing fruits. And how can we be fruitful and remain fruitful as believers? We must be connected. We must be plugged in to him. Because without him, he says we can't do anything. We can do nothing. That nothing is like two words, no and thing. No thing. It means we can do no thing. Everything that the Lord said in the word has already come to pass. And the ones that is still coming, we know it will come. And here is the Lord speaking here. The objective of this message, or the scripture we read, is centers more on branches and the fruit that they produce. On us. On us and the fruit that we produce. Because he's talking to his disciples here how to produce fruits. How to not be just stagnant. And his objective also is to bear more fruit. After bearing more fruit, to bear much fruit. So it's like we are progressing, growing. We're not just in one place. Like the pastor mentioned, that we can never stop growing. It's a continuous process until God calls us home. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In Genesis 1, 20 to 22, Genesis 1, 20 to 22, this was after God created the water creatures. And it says that then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created the sea. He created the sea creatures and every living thing that moves, with which the water abounded, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. So as believers, we must multiply. We have no choice, but we must be fruitful and multiply. In every area, in our marriages, in our relationship, we shall be fruitful. In the mighty name of Jesus. Because greater is it that is in you. Not being fruitful is not an option. And I trust my pastor to look here. By fire, by fire, he will. In Genesis 1:28, Genesis 1:28, is after God created man in his image. And he says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. In Genesis 9, verse 1, after Noah's ark rested on Mount Ararat, it says, so God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fruitfulness is something very important to our Father. It is very important to him. Because in the scriptures, there are many areas that he talked about being fruitful. Being fruitful in everything. In the parable of the talents, the servant that was given one talent that went and hid it, he did not multiply it. He was not fruitful. And we know what the master said to him. Also, the same Genesis 9, 7. Genesis 9 and verse 7. It says, and as for you, be fruitful and multiply. Bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply it. Our King of Glory is a God of relationships. From the very beginning, we know he has a relationship with the Son and the Spirit. They are always united. So he wants us to have a relationship with him. To abide in him, we must have a relationship with him, a cordial relationship with him. Who likes to drink tea here? Ah, thank you, Jesus. I love tea. And you are from England, Britain. I know you love tea. When I drink tea, that's just my preference, to just throw the tea bag in the water. So when water, either cold or hot, because now they make cold tea. It used to be only hot before, but now they have it cold. It doesn't matter. If I like to just drop that tea bag in the water and just leave it there. Let the water sink. Let the tea bag sink. And I will leave it there to ruminate with the water. Leave it in there for everything in that bag to come out. But some people like to put the tea bag in the cup, dip it in, take it out. Dip it in and take it out. But I want to reside. I want to stay, remain in there. Abide in that. Let the water, let it suck out everything in it. But we cannot get too much of God. Sometimes I get too much of the tea from the tea bag. That the milk doesn't have any impact on any tea anymore. I have to add more milk. But when it's God, you can never have enough of him. The more you have of him, the better. So nothing can be used to compare our God. Nothing. He's above all. Hallelujah. Now, as branches that we are, we must be fruitful as branches. We must be fruitful. There are characteristics of a fruit. There are some things that the fruit exhibits. A fruit always depends on the branch. The branch on the vine, and the vine, the sap flows through. The Holy Spirit flows through. That branch must be able to support the fruit. When a fruit grows on a branch and the fruit is stronger than the branch, what happens? So we need the Holy Spirit to provide that strength as branches, to hold on to the fruits that will lead to Christ. By supporting them, by giving them godly counsels, by helping them in any way that they need help, then we are supporting them. Then we are holding on to them. I pray that the Lord Almighty will give us that strength. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. A fruit takes after the tree that produces it. Luke 6:43 and 44. The book of Luke, chapter 6, and verse 43-44. For a good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. You will bring forth good in the name of Jesus. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. An orange tree cannot produce apples. Now, in this day and age, we know what the world is doing. They're trying so many things. I don't even know if they're already crossbreeding fruits. Crossbreeding apples and oranges. What would be the result? Thank you. But we as believers, we are to abide in him. We are to remain in him. We are to be stayed. Our hearts need to be stayed upon him. And when we do so, we will always prosper. We will always be fruitful. Abiding in him ensures that the enemy cannot touch you. Because the Lord knows the end before the beginning. And I pray that will help us in Jesus' name. A fruit is not useful by itself. A fruit grows, it's not useful by itself. It cannot eat itself. It's made for the benefit of somebody else or for something else. So all that we are, the Lord is telling us here, as branches, the fruits that come out of, you were once fruits. I was once a fruit. That fruit has seeds in it. And the seed in that fruit needs to produce more trees. Thank you, Jesus. In other words, the fruits that we must bear must also bear other fruits as well. Our fruits must remain. The fruits that we produce can never go, we can never allow them to go to rust. They must not rust. They must not be infected by parasites. We need to guide them. Guide them with the word of God. Thank God that yesterday we went evangelizing. That is how to bring in fruits. That is how to be fruitful. What you did yesterday, for those that went out yesterday, you may not pray with them to receive Jesus Christ, but you've already sown the seed. By speaking about him to them, the seed was already sown. If they get saved later next year, you started that. It was what you did that was sown into their hearts. And they will get pricked by that word that came from you. May God use you. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:30 says that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. It's a tree of life. And he who wins souls is wise. So the fruits that we bear, they are bearing other lives. They also are being fruitful. It is a continuous process. And that's why we can never be stagnant. That is why we need to keep moving on in the knowledge of the Lord. To lead others to Christ, we need to display the fruit of the Spirit in our character. What others see in us. I don't need to go through stories about what has transpired with some believers out there. You know, how they went out, you know, witnessing, and they happened to see someone that they've already cursed out. See someone that they didn't have patience for. Only for trivial matters, they lost it. All kinds of words that you should not hear from a child of God came out. And then this same person, God now took her to witness to the man that she cursed. But God also used that scenario to save her, to reprove her that what you did is not acceptable. She was broken. She was broken. So everything that we do when we abide in him is for a purpose. If we abide in him, there is nothing that you will do that is wasteful. We may think that, oh, this is not what I expected. This is not what I asked for. But he knows what needs to happen. When we pray for something and it doesn't come when we ask for it, when we abide in him, we know he got it. We know he got it. When that time comes to receive what we ask for, he will make it available to us in ways that we never even expected. I pray that the Lord Almighty will open our eyes to see that what is working out for us in the mighty name of Jesus. And the fruit is not supposed to remain on a branch for too long. When the fruit is ripe, it cannot stay there forever. It needs to go and birth other trees. What happens if a fruit stays too long and it may be overripe and there's the wind, storm, breeze, it falls. It falls without anyone even going to pluck it. And when it falls, it can fall into any kind of ground. It may fall into thorns or into some stony places. And by the grace of God, sometimes maybe it will fall into a good soil. But that's why we need to always ensure that the fruit that we bear to the Lord, that we care for that fruit. We have to let them go, give them to God. Let God take care of them. Once they are saved and we show them the way of the Lord, we have to let them go. Let the Lord take them. And he will use them as he has used you in the mighty name of Jesus. The parable of the sower in Matthew 13, you know, the fruit can be snatched by the enemy. That's talking about a fruit that's not a tree, a fruit of the tree, a real fruit. A soul that has been saved or that was witnessed to. It can fall, as I said, on thorns and get choked and have no chance of growing. We pray that Every fruit that will bear, they will fall on good grounds in the mighty name of Jesus. That will yield a hundredfold. That will yield a 60-fold, a 30-fold. Even one is good. Even one. It's better than zero. But because you are in the vine, it will not be one. A branch that you are only one branch on the tree. That branch that you are, that one branch will produce 100 fruits in the mighty name of Jesus. And the Lord will give you the strength to carry them in the mighty name of Jesus. And we know that fruits, they go through some predefined stages until maturity. A fruit does not become ripe the first day it appeared on the branch. But with the help of the vine, with the help of the sap, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that fruit will grow. It will grow. It will grow until it becomes ripe. So is anyone that we bear witness to. So shall it be for them in the mighty name of Jesus. That they will not remain stagnant. They will begin to grow, even while still on the branch, in the name of Jesus. In the text that we read, what are we supposed to do in order to be fruitful believers? That John 15 and verse 4, John 15 and verse 4, it gives us the most important criterion. It says that, abide in me, I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. To be fruitful, we have to abide in him. The day we were saved is not where we are now. It's a gradual process. I remember before I really, really, really got saved, I had opportunities to do things for God, to work for God, but I didn't. Why? Because I thought I didn't know anything. I thought I didn't know how to do it. I thought I don't even have any scripture in my head. That how am I going to go and work in the house of God? And if they ask me, I can't even say anything. So that kept me back for years. If you are in that position now, you need to go to God to supply all that you need to work for him. It's his work. It's not our work. It's not your work. It's his work. If he wants you, to do it, according to what we read, he wants us to be fruitful. So we go to him and tell him, God, I need to be a teacher. I need to be a pastor. Or show me what you want me to be. He will supply what you need. He will supply it. Whatever you need, he will supply it. And by the grace of God, you will bear more fruit. You will bear much fruit. You will not be stagnant in the name of Jesus. Now, we talked about the tree. That comprises of the trunk, the sap, which is the Holy Spirit. And we talk about his son, Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. In 1 John 5:10-12, the Bible says that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. So the witness of God will be in you. He who does not believe God has made him a liar. Our God is not a liar. Or the Son of Man that he will repent. No. He said, if we do not believe in him, then we made him a liar. That everything he says in his word is a lie. And we know the Bible is God himself speaking. He spoke through his vessels. He spoke through them all. And he says that, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given of his son. If we don't abide in him, as he has asked us to do, we are not obeying him. We're not trusting him to perform that which he's asking us to do. But I pray God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. When we abide in him, we have life. We have life. A lot of people think that they are like, you know, that they are enjoying, that they are on top of the world with all these millions. But they have no life. They have no life. They don't know, but they have no life. I'm not saying there's anything is wrong, you know, with anyone being blessed or anything. No. No. If we abide in him, the blessings that God gives us, he will not remain with us. He himself knows how to channel the blessings. For him to trust you with the blessings, he knows he can count on you. He knows he can trust you to do what is right with that blessing. I pray that Lord will help us in Jesus' name. To abide in him, we need to keep his word. Keep his word in our heart. Guard it jealously. In John 14:23 and 24, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Some version says that we will make our abode with him. "He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me." To abide in him, we have to keep obeying, continue to obey his word. It may not come easy, but if we abide in him, the Spirit of God that is in us will give us what we need. It will help us. He's our helper. That's the reason why he's here. The prophets of old, they will prophesy only one time, and that's it. The Spirit of God is not in them. It's not resident in them like we do now. So everywhere we go, the Spirit goes with us. He's there to help us everywhere we go. He's there to teach us. Anything that we do not know, ask him to teach you. He will teach you. He knows it all. He knows it all. You know, I have personal testimonies about him helping me, teaching me how to find something or to do something. You know, and I'll give him praise. "Lord, I've been looking for this key. I have to go. I have an appointment. I cannot go. I cannot drive the car. The car is there. I'm staring at the car." When I pray and ask him, "Father, please lead me to where this key is." Every single time, he has led me. And I do not take it for granted that I won't use my own brain to remember where I put my keys and just say, "Okay, I'm just going to depend on the Holy Spirit." Yeah, he will tell me, but also I need to be responsible as well. But if I forget or I don't know where it is, I can always go to him. That's why he's there. He's our helper. I pray that Lord Almighty will help us in Jesus' name. Our time, but there are benefits in abiding in him. First of them is that God will live in you. Galatians 2:20. I will not read it because of our time. He lives in you when you abide in him. When you abide in him, he is in you always. He's always, when you're sleeping, he is there. We may not be conscious, but he is always there. Colossians 1:27, Christ is in you. And in 1 John 4:4, he is the great king. The greater one that lives in you. We must put God's word at the center of our lives for him to continue to nourish us. To continue to help us to hold fast onto his word. The word is there. It's there. It's everywhere. But for us to hold on to it, we need him. We need him. When we study, we may not be able to to retain it in our head, like word for word, where that verse is or where that chapter is. But the word, when it comes, is powerful. The Holy Spirit in us will remind you. What you've gone through, what you've studied, it will come. It will come. Just ask him. To retain scriptures is a good thing. Because you never know when you will need the word. But when the word comes, it will come with power. I pray that Lord will give us the word we need in season. He will give us the word we need at every point in time that we need it. It will not be late in the name of Jesus. When before the enemy even strike, we already have the word. Thank God for today's Sunday school. Thank God. You will never be anxious for nothing in Jesus' name. And now, in conclusion, abiding in the Lord is a must for every believer if we must remain fruitful. Fruitful in every way. In witnessing, in living our lives, we have to remain in him. And I pray that God will help us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We're going to pray. We're going to take a couple of prayers to help us. First of all, let us pray that God, in his infinite mercy, will help us to be always kingdom-minded in the name of Jesus. That as we abide in him, that we will never be separated from him in the mighty name of Jesus. That nothing, no situation will separate us from him in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We pray, Lord, that your mission shall be our mission. Your goal shall be our goal. We will not be separated from you, Lord. Father, we pray that we will hear expressly from you in the mighty name of Jesus. That you will lead us, mighty God, in the way that we should go. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Father, Lord, we pray that we will abide in you. Give us the strength to always abide in you, mighty God. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we will not be separated from you. In the wonderful name of Jesus, Father, we will have that boldness, the boldness, mighty God, in the mighty, to experience the answers to our prayers because of us abiding in you. In the mighty name of Jesus, because if we abide in you, we will pray in the way that we need to pray. And when we pray according to your will, we know you will answer us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, Lord, we thank you. King of glory, we worship you. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.